Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. The Music of America podcast continues day two in Utah, and we're in Provo. Our special guest today, Deanne, and we'll talk with Deanne on a few of her songs we'll get to hear today. River Ridge Farms, Jeffersonville, Vermont. Vermont's recreation lover's dream is a gorgeous vacation rental nestled in the Green Mountains of Vermont. River Ridge Farm is an escape for everything wonderful Vermont has to offer. This historic farmhouse is set atop 16 acres of fields with mountain views, pasture, a pond, tree-lined river frontage. Go and enjoy this beautiful spot right in the heart of the Green Mountain State. Now, along with the multiple nearby ski and mountain resorts, breweries, biking trails, hiking trails, other tourist activities, this spot is unique due to the multiple mountain views and the resident farm animals. When you make your reservation, contact the host, Diana, through River Ridge Farms, Jeffersonville. And when talking with her, arrange an interaction with the animals. The pigs will love you for it, okay? Or just do a farm stay in this comfortable modern farmhouse, which sleeps 11 guests very easily. There's enough space to throw events from anything from a graduation party to retirement parties to a live concert with Deanne, all outdoors, you know, just whatever. Or just kick back, relax, and rejuvenate in the beautiful Vermont landscape. So check them out. River Ridge Farm, Jeffersonville. You have to emphasize Jeffersonville. So when you're searching like Airbnb, you're searching through Facebook, River Ridge Farms, Jeffersonville, Vermont's recreation lover's dream. Our guest is Deanne from Provo, singer-songwriter and boss. And we caught her at work. So thank you for giving us some time of your day, Deanne. And tell us a little bit about you, or tell us a lot about you. Actually, that's what this is about. What's your background? You're a singer-songwriter. How long have you been doing that?
So I have played around with trying to write songs on my grandma's piano. I started when I was 15.
Okay.
I started writing lyrics though, probably when I was like 12, starting with poetry and then going into lyric writing. I started trying to write music when I was 15. I only got maybe two songs, which were really bad. And then I officially got into songwriting probably when I was about 21, 22. I was living in Phoenix. And I decided it was time.
Yeah. What's such a cool music scene, too? Phoenix is, you know, it really.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I started in punk music. Actually, I used to hang out with a band down there. They were really big back in the late 90s, Bit O' Jane, and I was just obsessed with them. I used to sell their merch at their shows, and
oh, no kidding.
We would hang out. Yeah, we would hang out at their house, and just like they'd play guitar, and we would just go around the fire singing, and it would come to me, and I would just make up stuff, and they were just like, wow, you're really good. You should be doing this. And I think that's where I really like built my confidence, like, hey, I could do this.
Yeah.
So
did they ever let you sit in with them?
Not like at a show, but yeah, just at their house jamming, right, and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When was your first stepping up performance? I'm doing this, I'm doing my own stuff kind of thing.
Karaoke. Well, no, I mean, that was original karaoke music. But right. But like karaoke, I think that's where I built my confidence to actually sing in front of people. But also when I would sing karaoke, I would also kind of do it my own way. I wouldn't try to sing it like the singer, you know, oh, okay, and I would just improvise and just kind of do my own stuff a lot of times. So I felt like that gave me confidence. But then when I really started writing music, I think I put some ads out, like, you know, we didn't have really internet, so I put flyers all over like Guitar Center and music shops and stuff. And then some guy responded. And so he and I just started writing. He would play guitar and I would write the lyrics and melody, and that's where I started. But we never did any shows. We just started writing.
Wow.
Yeah, and then one of the songs I wrote, that band Bitter Jane, they really liked that, my very first song I did, and so one of the guys was like, "Hey, can I use this song?" So they used it. Well, not the whole band, but one of the guys from the band used
See,
it.
In the old days, we used to say, "Can I buy your song?" You know. Now it's, "Can I use it?" Because that's what it's come to anymore. It's so hard to make money as a writer at at an entry level, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So when did you start performing your own stuff?
Oh, let's see. So after I started writing, I think I was probably like 22, 23. I auditioned for some rock band down in Phoenix. They were called D6, and they already had a bunch of their own songs. So I kind of started playing with them a little bit.
Yeah.
I think we did one show, and then we broke up. Yeah, the bass player, yeah, I didn't think he didn't really like me.
How could
I
he?
think it was just he didn't like the attention that I was getting. So,
okay.
And then I met a guy who was in a punk band. He introduced me to punk music and the whole punk scene, and I just fell in love, and he helped me start a band. We were called Hooker Red, girl band, and I think I did my first real, I would consider it my real show, where it was like at this dive bar and there were people there, and it was such, it was like a dream come true doing that first show.
How fun.
And then after that, I just kind of like, I don't know, fell in love with it.
So you played for several years and then you moved to Provo?
Yes, I actually grew up in Provo.
Oh, okay.
After high school, I moved around to a bunch of different states, Arizona being the longest. I was there for 7 years.
Wow.
And then I moved back to Utah because I decided I was going to, you know, go to college and get my life together, because obviously the punk scene in Phoenix, you know, just being a little punk was not probably the best environment. So I decided I need to grow up and get my life together. Came to college, ran into a guy who I had known in junior high and high school, and then he and I end up getting married, having kids, getting divorced.
Wow.
But yeah, so I didn't do music for a long time, until towards the end of my marriage. I was miserable, and I was like, you know what? I miss music. So I found an old piano at a garage sale for like $80, and I bought it and brought it home. And I just started writing all of my songs, like just writing like my therapy, what I was going through. And that's really where my music really just became my music, because I was writing for myself. And from there, I got a new band together. I mean, I'd sang with cover bands, but I don't consider that like part of my music career.
Right. Well, I mean, it's part of your career. It may not be part of your music, but it's
journey.
Part of your career. Yeah, your journey. Yeah, that's the better word. Yeah, journey.
Yeah. So, but then I got with a band, Geneva Conflict, and we were taking all of my piano songs, transposing them into hard rock.
Oh, wow.
And we had a really good go for about 5 years, and we were playing out every weekend, and it was great. I mean, it was fantastic. And then our lead guitarist kind of went through some life things, and then he moved away, and he and I are the ones who used to like put all of the songs together, do everything. And so when he left, it was like I kind of just lost my, I guess, kind of, I don't know, my inspiration.
Your mojo.
Yeah, because we had tried to find other guitarists. I tried to work with other people, and it just it didn't work, you know, it wasn't the same. And even he and I, when he and I first started writing together, like, we were so opposite, and I just hated him and he didn't like me, but for the sake of the band, we're like, let's just figure this out and we'll just do it. It kind of reminds me of, what is it, that movie on Amazon, or that series Daisy Jones or something?
Yes, I would say it's exactly what I was saying. You sound like, yeah, like Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. Yeah,
no, literally, that's how it was. We butted heads. It was hard, but it was like, once we figured out just what made it work, then it was like magic. And then we became best friends for a long time.
That was so fun.
Yeah. But after him, I lost. And plus, life got hectic, because then I did get divorced. Mm-hmm. And, you know, always working like 2 to 3 jobs, being a single parent, trying to do music. It's just, it was so much. And finally, I made the decision to just quit the band altogether and just kind of focus on
being a mom.
Myself. Yeah, I mean, and I still write. I've still been writing. And then I've had a really hard time trying to piece together a new band. So I was having a conversation at work so I work for Live Nation. I'm a backstage manager at one of their venues here in Utah. So I'm definitely a part of the whole music scene in my everyday life. And I was talking with one of the artists, and I was explaining how I was struggling to put a band together and stuff. And he was just like, you know, he's like, things got way easier when I quit trying to write with a band and I just started writing for myself. And then I pieced together a band around my music. And he's like, and that's when my career happened. So I was like, you know what? That's what I'll do. So I'm just kind of right now trying to figure out what my sound is as an artist. I've always done punk and hard rock, but now I'm kind of doing this pop thing.
Really?
Just because, yeah, I mean, I grew up in pop, love pop. I was one of those teeny boppers, love Debbie Gibson. She was my original first inspiration to write music, was Debbie Gibson. I know, and it's so funny.
I don't think I've heard a single guest on here claim Debbie Gibson as her inspiration, man. That's hilarious. I mean, you always hear, you know, Stevie Nicks or Tina Turner or Aretha Franklin. Nope, Debbie Gibson.
I know, people always laugh at me when I say that, but the truth is, I grew up in a very religious Mormon area. We didn't have internet. And what we had was radio. And in Utah, it's very censored, especially back then in the 80s, you know. So what I had was Tiffany.
Right. No, I get it. Yeah. I was in radio at that time. So I remember Tipper Gore was the big advocate, remember, putting the labels, the parental warnings on rap albums and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine what it was like in Utah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And, well, the thing is, the reason she was such a big inspiration, because when she came out, she was, like, only 14, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. I think I was maybe 11, and I read an interview with her, like, in Teen Bop or something,
right,
where she said she started writing music when she was 12 or something, and that hit home to me. It was like, wait a minute, I'm 12, I can start doing this. So that really is what started my journey of, like, writing poetry in my journal every day, because I thought, you know, I need to learn how to do this, because I had always been just attracted to music my entire life. When I was, you know, I was one of those little girls who's always lip syncing in the mirrors and stuff like that. So it's always just been a part of me. And so when I found out that she was my age when she started, I was like, okay, I can do this. And then I really started to pay attention to her music. What were her lyrics saying? How was she writing? Mm-hmm. Like, I found out a lot about, like, the structure of a song based on, I would open up her albums and like go, okay, so this is a verse, and then this is a bridge, mm-hmm. and then this is a second verse, and this is a chorus. So I learned about like music structure off of Debbie Gibson tapes.
Hey, you got to learn it from somebody. And if you can learn it from Debbie Gibson instead of Mr. Hullab, my old music teacher, then it's just more fun, you know?
Well, and plus I didn't have music around me, and my mom was not that much into music, yep. you know, so.
Was your mom a single parent too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's how we end up in Provo. I'm Native American. I'm Navajo. We lived on the reservation till I was six, and then my mom became Mormon and went to BYU to go to school.
I gotcha.
To Brigham Young University. So that's how we ended up in Provo.
And you were Navajo in Arizona or New Mexico?
New Mexico. Gallup, New Mexico.
Gallup, yeah. Okay. Yeah, my daughter my daughter lived in Carson, which is outside of Taos, and my brother lived in Farmington for a while. And Farmington was surrounded by like four different nations, I believe.
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh. So
I actually was just down there.
Oh, no kidding. On purpose.
Yeah. Yes, on purpose.
There's sort of a theme in listening to your music, and I got a chance to listen to it the other day and then listen to it again today because we had a time thing, and this happens a lot, just so you know. I'm in Central Time, but I'm also sometimes in Eastern Time. When I'm not in Missouri, I'm in Vermont. And it gets to be really fun when I'm talking to somebody in Alaska, you know, or Seattle yes. and trying to coordinate times. I had to talk to a guy in Chicago. We had to do the interview at 10 o'clock at night because his partner was in Tokyo. So time things messed up, and so we got a little bit messed up. So while we were doing that, I get to listen to your music again, and there's a theme from all three of your songs. They're kind of sad. So was this well, you said that you started writing when you were going through your divorce, right? So the first song we're going to listen to, Dream, that's not really that sad, but there's
that one is okay. So in a dream, that's about a recurring vampire dream I used to have.
Oh, no.
It's a love song. Yeah, that's why it's called In a Dream.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In a Dream. But yeah. it's a love song. That song's not sad at all. That's probably my...
Maybe
I don't
it was
know.
Monster and Heartbreak City that both hit me. It was those two back-to-back. In a Dream was the first one I listened to, or re-listened to or whatever today, but I was also putting together a promo for another show and trying to get you on the phone, and, you know, so I didn't get to... So it's kind of a love song. It is a love song. And you fell in love with...
Yeah, but Monster... And Heartbreak City are both heartbreak songs.
Okay. So let's talk
but
about...
But yes, that is a theme.
Yeah, let's talk about
my,
Dream.
Most
then.
Of my songs are like heartbreak. Okay, In a Dream.
In a Dream, sorry. Right. So In a Dream, mm-hmm. it's a love song and you fall in love with a vampire.
Okay, sort of. So okay. In my dream, I don't know if we have time for the whole explanation, but I'll do a quick... So I used to get a dream every like January, probably like three times in January, but it was weird. It was like the dream would end, and then the next time I had the dream, it would start off from where the last dream ended.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yeah. So in this dream, I meet this vampire, but he's not like a regular vampire, right? So like he ends up in my bedroom and he's just like curious and looking at everything. And instead of like trying to drink my blood, he's just like, touching my hair and like smelling my hair and just like looking at my hands, and I'm just like, what is going on here? Okay, so over the course of the dream, we get to know each other. I find out that he's actually from kind of a universe that's made of like vibrations, right? Like energy,
uh-huh.
which is the opposite of ours, where our universe is like tangible. Everything right. is tangible. So, and he's saying that vampires who go around drinking blood, in their world, they're drug addicts, right? They're their meth heads and
right,
stuff.
Right, right. That's the
and
drug,
blood
right.
is the, yeah, blood is the drug that they crave because it brings them into a tangible state. So what he's actually a scientist, and he's trying to find the cure for this disease of blood drinking. Wow. So he's testing it out like on himself so that he can figure out a way to find this cure. And so he ends up in our world. I meet him. And so when I sleep and I dream, then we meet in this the halfway between tangible and intangible worlds. And
that's kind of cool.
Anyways, yeah, so I start helping him because letting him know about how things work in our world. And then the vampires start trying to come after us to kill us because they don't want a cure for this, you know, because right. That's their drug. And so anyways, that's what the song is about. It's about that whole thing. And of course
story.
We fall in love.
Of course you yeah. do. Of course. Because you know, in the real world, you've been heartbroken, as we find out in the other couple of songs. So you can be in love with an entity that's fictional in your dream, and you can have him all you want in a safe place because it's a dream. And if you don't want to be with him anymore, you just have to wake up.
Well, in the dream, I wanted to stay with him and he wouldn't let me. And I was like trying to let a vampire bite me because I wanted to stay with him. And he was like, no. And so the very last dream I had, I found a vampire. And I was like, bite me. And he was like, no. And the vampire bit me. And that was the last dream I ever had.
Oh, boy. I got to have another one now. See where the story takes us. Well, our guest is Deanne. And I'm so intrigued by listening to the song. I got to listen to it for a third time now and get the right message out of it. But the song is called In a Dream, right here on the Music of America podcast.
Don't want to wake from this scene.
In a Dream with Deanne, our guest here today on the Music of America podcast from Provo, Utah. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. We'll be back and talk about a couple of Deanne's heartbreak songs after we talk about a new sponsor of ours. A new sponsor, but he's been involved in the show, I should say. If you're looking for a world-class team to help you build your music career, the one you've always wanted, check out Big Records World. Big Records World is a world leader in the indie music scene. They're the most forward-thinking record label in music today. Operating since 2019, they have a full team of professionals and services and connections that you need in the music industry. The best part is they do everything non-exclusive, so you don't need to worry about losing control of your brand, losing control of your creativity, losing control of your music. Big Records World is a vast team specializing in sponsorship, touring, nonprofits, distribution, marketing, radio, sync licensing, television, and even getting on podcasts like this one, and so much more. Their team works with indie artists right up to the biggest names in the entertainment industry today. Whatever you're looking for, the Big Records World music community will be a welcome family for you. Email them today. Talk to Mark at bigrecords.world and let's amplify your music and your brand. Big Records World, welcome to the Music of America podcast. Really cool group of people. He's out of, I almost said Nova Scotia, it's the other side of Canada, Vancouver, British Columbia. And I met him through Facebook, and from him, we've received maybe a dozen plus different artists that have come on the show. They're really good in terms of promoting indie. So Deanne, our guest today, that's somebody you might want to look into when you're trying to move forward with your music. You brought up being a single mom, and now you're doing music more. How supportive are your kids of your music endeavor?
So, I mean, my kids like my music, so that's probably the biggest support they give me.
Yeah.
Is that I know that they like my music, and they're not just saying it because they're my mom. I mean, I'm their mom.
Right. They're your mom. But,
like, they genuinely like my music. So, but, I mean, I've been doing music their whole lives, and
I
was singing with my band before, and, you know, sometimes we, like, if we had all ages show, or, like, we were doing some sort of a battle of the bands at a festival or something, I'd bring them, and they just thought, like, rock music was so lame because it was, like, old people music. And but now that they're older and they're all teenagers and they're just like, you're actually really cool, Mom.
No, that's pretty neat.
So,
do they show, do any of your kids show any musical acumen at all?
I've tried to get them into music their whole lives, but I'm not one to push them to do anything they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And so they've kind of just not really been into it. I think it's just because, you know, Mom does it. It's lame.
Right.
But now that they're older, now that they're starting to get more interested in doing it. Last year, I bought my oldest. Well, he's second oldest, but he's the oldest at home. So I bought him a drum kit because he just is, like, naturally just is so good with rhythm and beats. And so he's just recently started playing it, and he just took off. He's so good, and he's already jamming with people. And so, but he's the only one. The other two at home are just like, I have one who's really into skateboarding, and then the other one who's just like super introvert and just wants to do video games. So, but at least I have one kid who's starting to really get into it.
But even that kid, wasn't he at a phase in his life when he was just into video games?
No, he's never really been a video game person.
Gotcha. Point out to your kids that even video games have music to them.
It's
so one, one of the fun things that happens in this, and you'll hear me, if you listen to this podcast with any kind of regularity, you'll hear me say this quite often, but I love getting songs from people and see the title and think, oh, they're doing a cover of this, or they're doing their cover of that. Because some song titles are, some of them are fairly common and are commonly used by accident, if you know what I mean. So growing up, one of my favorite bands was a band called Steppenwolf. It was one of the early prog rock bands that I listened to, and they had a song called Monster, and it was a full album side, and it was Monster that evolved into America and so on and so forth. But it was the Monster album. It was one of the coolest album covers, because I could just sit there and listen to the album and study the album cover. But the name of the song was Monster. It was like a 27-minute song, you know, on one side. It was this, evolved to this, into this. It was more like a suite. So I didn't think, from our limited conversations and emails we had at the beginning, that you're going to cover this song, but I was still curious. And then I heard it, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's certainly not Steppenwolf. Now, this is the first of the two heartbreak songs of yours, right?
Yes.
Although Monster could also be about a vampire.
This song is actually about, I had a Friends with Benefits for many years off and on. We did a lot of music, and we would just be like, okay, this is not healthy for us, because we would start seeing each other, and we knew we were bad for each other. We knew we were not going to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
But we just couldn't stay away from each other. And then when we did see each other, we didn't see anybody else. And so it's just very toxic. And so basically that's what that song is about.
So it wasn't really the person. It was like, more like the relationship was the monster.
Well, in the song, I talk about me being the monster. It's because it's like, it says like, it's basically, it's like, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and like, it says like, you're the lightning that turns me inside, and I become, because I make stupid choices and I do things that I don't want to do, but it's like, I don't know, something just would take over me. But it was on both ends. We both felt this way about each other. We were just each other's kryptonite, I guess.
So. Kryptonite, vampires, monsters. I love the world where you live.
I am into a lot of like fantasy and sci-fi, so I mean,
well, you need to be, man. I mean, that whole creative side of you feeds off that kind of stuff. It feeds in that realm of fantasy. I mean, most artists do. There's the real world. And there's a pragmatic side of that, but the creativity just seems to flow with more people. I think it's that kind of fantasy stuff that opens up the world to where a muse can come in and use you as a vehicle to write songs to present to the world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's also a musician, and, you know, we both have songs about this situation.
Okay. Well, let's hear yours.
Okay. Well, just something to be aware of in this song. So originally it's all piano, you know. Mm-hmm. The original piano song is very different from the actual recording. But in this recording, I don't know if you're familiar with Marilyn Manson's Mephistopheles of Los Angeles song.
No, so I mean, I've listened to some Marilyn Manson, and enough to know who Marilyn Manson is, enough to know it's not my style of music.
Yeah, well, he has this song, okay, and the rhythm in it, it just like, I loved it so much that I kind of mimicked it in the chorus of Monster.
Oh, really? So, okay.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. We'll listen for that then.
Yeah. So. Okay.
The song called Monster, our guest today from Provo, Utah, Deanne. And let's give it a listen here on the Music of America podcast.
Somehow the man
Monster with Deanne here on the Music of America podcast, and one more song coming up. But also want to talk to you a little bit about Live Nation, what you do with them. So Deanne, hang on, and we'll talk about that, because right now I got to talk, ladies, you don't need big promises, you need results. Simple Beauty Retinol Moisturizer contains only the best ingredients for your skin. It doesn't contain unnecessary ingredients that may cause you further skin issues. Specifically formulated, the Retinol Moisturizer helps reduce the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, making skin appear younger, softer, smoother. There's a powerful combination of antioxidants with vitamins A, C, B5, and E that fight premature aging by blocking DNA-damaging free radicals and promoting softness and elasticity. It contains natural ingredients like aloe vera, jojoba oil, or jojoba oil, however that's pronounced. I've had three different pronunciations now. Rose water, sunflower oil, all great for alleviating a variety of skin conditions. Simple Beauty Retinol Moisturizer. Simple Beauty Retinol Moisturizer. www.simplebeautyskincare.com. It simply works. I have this friend of mine that works in South Carolina, and that's a product of theirs. Her and my girlfriends put this product out, or present this product. And Amber Claire, who is also a guest on the show, is also involved with Simple Beauty. So whenever I have a female guest on the show, it just seems more appropriate to do that commercial than if I've got a guy on that does like death metal, you know? So our guest is Deanne from Provo. And Deanne, you said at the beginning you work for Live Nation, which is kind of a kind of a big thing. So talk to us about Live Nation and what you do and how you got into that. And it sounds interesting.
Okay, so I am a backstage manager at a Live Nation venue. It's called Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater. It used to be USANA Amphitheater, and they just barely switched the name this year. Mm-hmm. But so I started out. People like to know how I started, how I got in this industry, because it's, you know, working in this industry, it's not really like the kind of thing that you go and you apply for and then you just, it's, you kind of have to just know people. I think anything music related or entertainment, it's about who you know, how you get involved. Basically, I have a friend who worked for Live Nation, and she wasn't like a personal friend, just like a Facebook friend. So I only add people I know in real life or musicians that I can network with. And I guess she was a musician. So she put a post one time saying, oh, we need assistance. We need help at Warp Tour. You'll get paid $200 for 12-hour day. You know, anyone contact me. So I contact her and I was like, oh, that sounds cool. Yeah, I want to do that. I want to volunteer for that. So when I went there, they actually put me with catering, and I literally had to just wash dishes the entire freaking day, 12 hours. There were pots that were bigger than me. I had to crawl inside and scrub with a brush. Like, at the end of the night, I could barely walk. My body hurt so bad.
Yeah.
And I was just, I had muck in my hair. It was just gross. So at the end of the night, I go to get my check, and the production people are there. And I was like, I'm here to get my check. And they're like, you know, I'm Deanne. And they're like, oh, were you the one doing dishes? I'm like, yes. And they're like, oh, we heard you're a really hard worker, which I am. I bust my ass. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So they're like, we need some really good hard workers. We need some runners for the season this year. Do you want to work for us? And I was like, hell no. That was my first thought inside my head. Nope. And then they looked at me and they're like, oh, you'll never have to do dishes. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So they're like, just come to the office, talk to us. So from there, I became a runner. A lot of people don't know what that is, but when a band comes to town to a venue, they have local assistants who drive the band to and from airports, hotels, and the tour. So that's what I started as. I did that for 5 years. And then I became the backstage experience coordinator, which is basically a production coordinator with a Live Nation fancy name. Mm-hmm. And then this year I was just promoted again to the backstage manager. So, which basically,
that's pretty huge. Yeah, and that's a heavy responsibility.
It is, but I love it. I've basically been doing it for 2 years anyways.
Uh-huh.
My boss is incredible. He and I both started at a little venue here in town. I was his runner and he was the production manager. And then he moved up to the area manager. And when he did that, he took me with him. And then he became the venue manager last year. Wow. And then so he moved me to backstage experience coordinator. So I feel like I attribute my whole career really to him, because he's just taken me along with his on his success journey. But I mean, obviously I worked hard and I earned it, always being dependable, being there, busting my ass and just figuring everything out and getting it done. But
how cool is that, though, to be able to be involved in the inner workings of shows and concerts and artists and meeting them and being there to help support them, but also see how these are, it brings like a humanity to them. You know, you see that these are real people, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely.
As a fan, you can sit and look at, you know, Chris Stapleton and be in awe of him, you know, yeah, or whomever, you know, but when you're backstage and they're saying, well, tell me about your kids, you know? Oh yeah, we went fishing down that place you told us to go fishing to, you know, and things like that. You know, it's like, these are humans, you know, it's so cool.
Yeah. And I think that's what's given me more confidence to just do my own music, because there are a lot of times when I'm seeing like these opener artists and I'm like, yeah, I'm just as good as they are. Like, mm-hmm. I could be doing that, you know? I think being around and also, yeah, that human aspect, getting to know these people and just realizing we're all just people, and you know, they just found the path and made it. And I just, like, I found my path in my career. Like, I could also do this in music. So it's given me more of a drive to really get into doing my music more. Especially because my youngest is 15. He'll be gone in 3 years. Oh, and my. When he is, like, I'm going to be able to do whatever I want. And now I'm thinking about, what does that look like? What do I want to do? So I'm really starting to put forth the steps of creating the life that I want to. And a lot of that is music.
A friend of mine who is a guest on our show next Friday, Dave Keller from Montpelier, Vermont. We've had him at the house for a house concert before, and I've seen him, you know, perform for 10 years or whatever. And his kids are out of the house now. He's like, I'm an empty nester now, Tom. I can travel. And he's gone to Europe and he's gone all over the country. He's gone to the West. He's gone to the Southeast. He's come to the Midwest, you know, and he can do that now. And he's built his career up to this point, you know. I had an idea too, that while you're working backstage, like, take a song like Heartbreak City, and whenever there's an artist nearby, just start humming or singing the hook really loud and him say, hey, that's a cute song. What's that? What's that about? And then you get an opportunity to talk to somebody and they can find out about your music and buy some of your music.
Yeah. Well, we're the first line of protection from giving artists and people like a normal life. So we're not supposed to promote our own music and our talents and stuff like that, you know, because I'm sure they get it everywhere they go. Hey, listen to my, you know, my music. Right. And So we can't do that at work, but I'm still getting a lot of contacts, like important contacts for like, maybe I won't be working for Live Nation my whole life, you know, and what happens then, you know? So, you know, you never know. It's just, and plus you work with these people regularly, like, a lot of the tour people, they jump from tour to tour. So they're not like, Janet Jackson's team is not just Janet Jackson's team. They're Janet Jackson's team right now, but they'll be Foo Fighters' team next week. Sure. You know, and so we see the same people come through here all the time, and you get to know these people on a personal level. So,
and that's a great network to build off, you know, because when you decide that you want to. Definitely. That's really cool. So would Heartbreak City be a good breakout song for you?
No. Let me tell you why. Heartbreak City.
Wait a minute. People have to understand this is audio only. And if you saw the expression on Deanne's face, she cocked her head back, rolled her eyes way up in her head. She goes, no. It was hilarious.
Well, but Heartbreak City was an experimental song. Okay. So it sounds unlike anything else I've ever recorded and done. It's pop music, but it's more like a 90s club dancey vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the intent. Because I used to rave a lot in the 90s. And like, just like right now, I'm just trying to figure out what my sound is and really what direction I'm going to go. I may re-record Monster and Heartbreak City. I haven't released them yet for this very reason. So I know a guy who has offered to work with me, and he basically mentors a lot of huge upcoming artists in helping them with the pre-production and arrangement and everything of the music. And so he's offered to help me out. So I think I'm going to start working with him, rearrange a bunch of these songs, and then re-record Monster and Heartbreak City. But I'm not sure yet. I'm still, don't know where I'm going necessarily, but I'm going to give it a try with working with this guy, see where it goes. And then if it's everything I want it to be, then there's a chance I will re-record Monster and Heartbreak City.
Yeah. But for right now, we're just going to sit back and listen and enjoy. All right.
Yeah.
So Deanne is our guest here from Provo, Utah. And the last song we hear from her is this one here, Heartbreak City, on the Music of America podcast. Heartbreak City with Deanne here on the Music of America podcast. Deanne, it's been fun, man. It's that dig your story. It's just fun talking with you, and you're hilarious. And I wish we had video just so people could see some of your expressions. But now this is the segment of the show where you get to just tell us how we can help you and support you. It's called Shameless Self-Promotion. And you get to plug away, I guess your Facebook page, Instagram, but how can we find you? How can we hear your music? How can we buy your music? How can we help support you in your endeavors?
So I have a Spotify, but there are a billion Deannes. So my name is spelled DEANN. But you'll have to also type in a dream. So you'll have to do artist name and song title to find me on Spotify.
Okay.
So, but as I am, like, I'm new, I plan to be, like, have a lot of more stuff going on next year. But as of right now, I have the one song on Spotify. I do have these two other songs, which I think maybe I'll put it on either SoundCloud or Reverb Nation just to have it out there.
Yeah.
And then I will possibly, you know, re-record them and then put them all on Spotify and iTunes and all of the other places where it exists. But I'm also on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me at Deanne Music on most platforms, Facebook, Instagram. I do a lot of TikToks. So mostly my favorite platform is TikTok.
Really? That's the one I don't use.
Dude, I love TikTok. I don't know. When the algorithm finds what you like, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And I think people just think it's teeny boppers dancing, but it's really not. There's so much stuff.
When it first came out, I loved it. They had, it's what Reels is now, you know, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just and there were fun little movie clips that were nostalgic for me. And there's some regular characters that are on there that I think are funny that are just TikTok stars. There's a woman who's, you always see her working out, but she always talks about, she dresses up in a fake blonde wig and she calls herself Karen. And I just think she's hilarious. She just like is obnoxious, but I haven't done TikTok in quite some time. And now that I've got this podcast up and running, everybody's saying, got to get it on TikTok. But maybe year two, because maybe year two or year three, we'll be doing video instead of just audio. And maybe that would make sense then to do that.
Yeah, you could. I mean, you can do up to 10 minutes now on TikTok.
Oh, wow.
So you could do pieces of your podcast clips and video.
You to sign a waiver. And do you want me to be talking to you while you're in your car or you're in your house or in your bathroom? I've had them all, you know, in your garage, out on your farm, just whatever. So, yeah, we'll see.
I'm sure a lot of artists wouldn't mind if you just gave them the option.
Yeah, that's true. Don't assume no. Give them the opportunity to say no. There you go.
Exactly. See, there
Deanne,
you go.
Deanne, you're fun. You're fun, man. I can't wait to see you break out. Get those kids out of the house so you can really open up your wings and fly.
Yeah, get out, kids. Go. I literally don't know what I'm going to do. I've been a mom since high school. Yeah. It's going to be a tough transition, but I've decided I'm going to be on the road. Whether it's as a production manager on a tour or whether it's doing my own music, when my youngest leaves, I'm out. I'm going to be on the road.
Well,
I think it's the only way I can cope.
Just remember, keep in mind my new sponsor, and you got to break my new sponsor in today. Big Records World.
All right.
Big Records World. Okay. Big Records. WORLD. Right. Mark at bigrecords.world. Check them out. And Deanne, thank you. Deanne, our guest here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Love having you. I'm glad we finally got this thing worked out.
Yes.
There we go. Deanne, our guest here from Provo, Utah. Up next, we're going to meet Gary Lee in a band called Zoetic Infinity. Interesting name, interesting story. Hear him tomorrow here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season.
I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America.